Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on creating a switch up with macro controls, the jungle way. Today we're going to make that moment where the groove suddenly shifts feel intentional, musical, and properly old school DNB, instead of sounding like a random pop a paste. The big idea here is simple. We're not just throwing in a fill. We're using subtle offsets, filters, delays, mutes, and bass movement to create tension, then bringing everything back with more impact. That push and pull is what makes jungle and drum and bass feel alive. Let's start by setting the scene. Open a new live set and set your tempo to 172 BPM. If you want it a little more classic jungle, you can also work in the 165 to 170 range. Then create a MIDI track and load drum rack. For the drums, aim for a broken beat feel. Think kick, snare, hats, and a few ghost notes or extra percussion hits. Keep it a little rough around the edges. That's part of the vibe. Don't overquantize everything so hard that it loses movement. A really solid starting point is kick on beat 1, snare on 2 and 4, a few ghost notes before the snare, and hats on the offbeats are in 16 THS. If you've got old break samples, even better. Amen style or processed break slices are perfect for this kind of thing, because they already have that classic jungle character baked in. Now let's give the beat some swing. Open the groove pool and try a subtle swing preset, something like an MPC style 16 swing. You do not want to swing the whole beat into mush. Keep the snare stable and let the ghost notes, hats, and break fragments breathe a little. That contrast is what makes the groove feel human. Next, we need a bassline that can work with the switch up. Create another MIDI track and load wave-eatable, operator, or analog. For a beginner-friendly, old-school DNB bass, keep it simple. Short envelope, low-pass filter, a little saturation, and mono mode if needed. Write a bass pattern that leaves space for the drums. You want roots, short stabs, maybe a slide here and there, but you do not want the bass stepping all over the snare. If you're using wave-eatable, try a saw or square wave, a low-pass filter, low sustain, and a short decay. Add saturator after it for a bit of grit. If you're using operator, a sine-based sub with a second layer for mid-range body can work really well. Now here's where the creative offset idea starts to come in. Group or rack your drums so you can control them with macros. In Ableton Live 12, an audio effect rack or instrument rack is perfect for this. The goal is to map a few key controls so one movement can change the whole energy of the groove. Keep the ranges narrow so the controls stay musical. A really useful macro setup might be this. One macro for filter cutoff, one for echo amount, one for drum level or break tightness, one for hat volume or hat layer shift, one for snare reverb, one for bass filter cutoff, one for bass release or envelope amount, and one for overall switch energy. You do not need all 8. But even 4 good macros can give you a strong switch-up system. Now let's talk about the actual offset. In jungle and old-school DNB, the switch-up often works because one thing slips slightly against another. The drums might stay solid while the percussion comes in a hair early or late. The bass might enter a little off the expected grid, or a sound might disappear for half a bar and then snap back in. One easy way to do this is to duplicate a percussion layer, and nudge the duplicate slightly ahead or behind using track delay or clip start position. Keep one layer steady, then filter the shifted layer so it adds motion without cluttering the mix. That little push against the groove can create a really strong sense of tension. Another great technique is to offset the bass entrance. Leave one bar mostly empty, then bring in a bass stab late or early, right before the snare return. If you automate the bass filter so it opens during the switch, the listener feels the build before the drop even hits. That's the kind of movement that makes a simple bassline feel like a real event. And do not underestimate muting. Sometimes the most powerful switch-up is not adding more stuff, but taking one key thing away for a moment. Cut the kick for half a bar. Let a snare or break fragment hang in the air. Then bring the groove back with a fill or delay tail. That little bit of silence can hit harder than any extra drum fill. Now let's build the switch-up section itself. Make a dedicated one-bar variation. In the last bar of your phrase, try removing the kick on beat 1, adding a snare flam, shifting a ghost note just before the main snare, and throwing in a quick hat roll on 32nd or 64th notes. You can also place a percussion hit right on the last 16th to help drive into the next loop. For the bass, try a short stab on the end of 3, or a small pitch bend into the next bar. If you use echo on the final note, you can create a nice tail that carries the energy forward. That's a very useful old-school trick. Make the last note of the phrase sound like it's pulling the track into the next section. Once the sounds are in place, Automate your macros. This is where the switch up starts to feel polished. Over in 8-bar phrase, keep bars 1 to 3 relatively normal. In bar 4 or 5, open the filter a little. In the next bar, bring up the echo or switch energy macro. Then open the bass slightly more, and finally return everything to neutral before the loop comes around again. The key is not to overdo it. In drum and bass, especially jungle, tiny automation moves can go a long way if your drums already have energy. A small filter opening, a short delay throw, a tiny dip in drum level, or a subtle rise in bass cutoff can be enough to make the transition feel exciting. If you want extra control, use clip envelopes inside the MIDI clips. That's a great beginner move because it keeps the variation modular. You can shorten the bass notes in the switch up, raise hat velocities in the last two beats, or automate filter cutoff just inside the clip. That means you can duplicate and reuse the same idea without rebuilding everything from scratch. Now let's add a little Ableton stock device flavor. On the drum group, try a chain-like saturator, then glue compressor, then auto filter, then utility. Saturator can add some drive and grit. Glue compressor helps glue the drums together. Auto filter gives you sweep movement. And utility can be mapped to a macro for overall energy control. On the bass, use saturator, auto filter, and a compressor or glue compressor. For break textures, simpler with slices, plus a touch of redux or autopan, can give you that rough, chopped feel. A really effective arrangement for this kind of track is super simple. Think in phrases. For example, bars 1 to 4 establish the main groove. Bars 5 to 8 add a bit more movement. Bars 9 to 12 strip something back and build tension. Bar 13 lands the switch up. Then bars 14 to 16 bring the full groove back with extra impact. That return is crucial. A switch up only works if the main groove comes back stronger. So when you come back in, make sure the listener feels that release. Bring the snare back solid, let the bass hit cleanly, and avoid cluttering the return with too many extra layers. Here's a nice mental model for this style. Think in layers, not one loop. The magic often comes from two or three elements interacting, not from changing everything at once. Keep one stable reference sound, usually the main snare or a consistent hat pattern, so the listener always has something to hold on to while the other elements shift around it. Also, keep your macro ranges small. If a macro controls filter cutoff or delay, don't map it so wide that it goes from barely moving to totally wild with one tiny twist. Small, musical ranges are way easier to control, and they sound more professional. And remember this, silence is part of the groove. A tiny gap before the return can hit harder than another fill. In jungle and old school DNB, that little empty space can make the next downbeat feel huge. If you want to get more advanced, try making the switch up answer the groove. So instead of changing everything at once, let the drums do the main phrase, then let the percussion or bass answer on the next bar. Simplify the drums, then bring the full pattern back. That call and response approach keeps the arrangement musical and stops it from feeling too busy. You can also create two versions of the same drum pattern, one full groove and one stripped groove. Alternate them every 4 or 8 bars. That makes the variation feel intentional because both clips share the same rhythmic DNA. For a mini practice exercise, build a 4-bar loop at 174 BPM. Add a breakbeat, kick, snare, hat, and a bass stab. Group the drums and add auto filter, echo, and utility. Map those to 4 macros, filter cutoff, echo amount, drum level, and bass open. Keep the first 3 bars mostly neutral, then in bar 4 open the filter, bring up the echo a bit. Dip the drum level slightly, and increase the bass open control. In the last half of bar 4, remove one kick, add a quick snare fill, and bring the bass back on the downbeat of the next loop. If you want to challenge yourself, make 2 versions of that idea, one subtle and rolling, and one more chopped and aggressive. Compare them and listen for which one feels more natural in the groove. So to recap, you learned how to build a jungle and DNB groove in Ableton Live 12, how to create a switch up that feels musical, how to use macro controls to offset drums and bass creatively, and how to use automation, filtering, delay throws, and mutes to shape the energy. The main takeaway is that a great switch-up is not just a fill. It is a controlled shift in groove energy. Keep the snare stable, move the supporting elements around it, and let your macros do the heavy lifting. That's how you get that classic jungle tension and release. Nice work, and keep experimenting.